Welcome to T21 Mom.
Hi, friends, and welcome to the T21 Mom podcast, where we share inspiring stories of love and resilience. I'm Mary, mom to my amazing daughter, Ainsley, an 11-year-old with Down syndrome and autism, and I'm living life my way. And this is episode 125. In today's episode, I'm joined by my good friend, Dorothy Gazzola, as we sip some wine and share her diagnosis story with her daughter, Faith. Dorothy knew her baby was special right from the start. And when her doctor brought up prenatal testing, she declined, trusting that everything would work out the best. Now, 20 years later, Dorothy reflects on that time so clearly as if it had happened yesterday. Let's go have a listen. Today on the T21 Mom podcast, we have a returning guest, Dorothy Gazzola. And we are sharing some wine as we share some stories. Welcome back, Dorothy.
Thank you. It's a pleasure being here.
You're welcome. So let's do a little top up here.
Against that.
Yep. There you go.
There you go. Thank you.
You're welcome. And on our previous episode, we talked about the transition of our kids after high school, which is such a scary topic, but also a much needed topic.
Yes.
And I'm grateful that you came on and shared your expertise on that because we all need it. But today we are sharing diagnosis stories.
Yes.
Now, Faith is 20.
She is.
And she just had a birthday. So obviously it's a little while ago, but I'm sure that you can remember it as clear as day.
I can. Yes, definitely.
Yes, I think we all kind of remember that time.
Yes.
That, you know, it's such a pivotal time. And when we get that life-changing news,
yes,
I don't think anyone ever forgets it.
Yes.
Now, before you had Faith, you actually had a miscarriage,
yes,
which is something people don't often talk about. And so what was that like, you know, losing your first pregnancy?
Well, it's an interesting story in that fact is because we, my husband at the time, we had just gotten married and I got pregnant, I think, within the first month of us getting married. So it was one of those situations where it was like, well, that was fast. But I remember when I got pregnant, I was feeling sick all the time. And I actually remember the day that I believe I felt the egg implant itself. I actually do believe I felt that because I literally was at work and all of a sudden I looked at my girlfriend and something very sharp happened. And I looked at it and I went, what was that? And she's looking at me with this look of like, what was what? And I was like, something just happened inside me and I'm not sure what that was. And she's like, oh, okay.
It's like, I don't know.
Well, lo and behold, about a month later, I found out that I was pregnant. So I guess during the pregnancy, which was the first trimester, I had a little bit of spotting, but everything was supposedly going the way that it should. Mm-hmm. And then I cleared the first trimester and thought, yes, I'm in the clear. Now, you also have to remember, too, because I had just gotten married, I wasn't necessarily feeling like, oh, yay, great, I'm pregnant. I just got married. I just, you know, mm-hmm, like I wanted to enjoy my marriage. But my husband at the time was ecstatic and super happy about it. So I was like, okay. And I was thinking, okay, he's happy about this. Then, you know, let's just keep going. Mm-hmm. So I ended up at around, I think it was within my first week of the second trimester, mm-hmm, started spotting. And I thought, this doesn't seem right. And so we went and had an ultrasound. And actually, it's funny because when you have that experience of a miscarriage, it is a really, it's similar to our experience with children with Down syndrome, the diagnosis that we get. It affects you in a way that you don't normally think that it's going to affect you. So They weren't able to find a heartbeat. And of course, it happened on a weekend. So they had me scheduled for the Monday morning. I went into the ultrasound. I'm watching the person who does it. And he's he's looking at the screen, and then I'm looking at my husband, and he's looking at the screen, kind of confused and everything. And then he puts the wand down, and then he looks at me, and he puts his hand on my arm, and he says, I want to let you know something that is not your fault. However, your child has stopped inside your tummy. And I just burst into tears. So then I had to go and have a DNC and had that done. And after the matter of that, I was surprised at how it had affected me, because I had come to terms that my husband was thrilled that I was pregnant at the time. And then I was like, I felt like it got ripped away from me. So that was really, really difficult, because I made it through the first trimester.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, no. So yes, I was really gun shy after that.
Mm-hmm.
For that simple reason. And so I said, I don't want to try for a while. I said, I just want to just enjoy being married and so on and so forth. Well, then, of course, you get to a point where you start to realize, okay, maybe you should try. The clock is ticking and I probably should at least try again. And when we decided to try, I was having difficulty getting pregnant. So that was a tough go. Mm-hmm. So I think it was 2 or 3 years I'd been checking and making sure and trying to make sure that we do it when I'm ovulating and so on and so forth, and nothing was working. So finally, they referred me to a gynecologist.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, okay, so what we're going to do is and I don't know what the procedure is called, but basically they insert dye into your fallopian tubes to see if they're blocked.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you can only have this if you're 5 days after you've started your period.
Okay.
So you have to book that appointment exactly 5 days after. Not sure what the significance is of that. But anyway, so waiting and waiting and waiting for me to have my period after my last one. It's not coming. And I'm thinking, well, I'm supposed to have it. So then, go get a pregnancy test. And lo and behold, it comes back positive. And sure enough, then, of course, the doctor confirmed it. And I was pregnant again at 37 years old.
And so, obviously, you took a bit of a break from trying. And yes. I hear this all the time. It's like, well, kind of when you least expect it.
Yeah.
And then suddenly you're pregnant.
Yes.
And so while you were on your pregnancy journey.
Yes.
You saw a show, you said, on Dateline.
Yes.
That really stuck with you.
Yes.
What was that story?
So that story in itself I feel like that could just be, it's a whole different podcast, but it was a Dateline show. I'd had a migraine that night, and we were still trying, but nothing was happening. And I had turned the TV on, and it was Dateline. This is when Dateline wasn't just doing crime things. Mm-hmm. It was just doing, you know, special interest stories and things like that. So it was about a family. It was an interracial couple who had found out at 20 weeks that they were carrying a child with Down syndrome, and that their child had a hole in its heart. Mm-hmm. And so then the next step was what their choice was going to be. Were they going to abort and then try again, or were they, what was going to be their plan? And because they were an interracial couple, he was Black, she was white, and he felt that this child already had so many things against it and that maybe they should try again. She was sort of feeling that same way. And then because of the stress of it all, right, because there's only matters time before, mm-hmm. during that time anyway, that was 20, mm-hmm. well, that was probably about 25 years ago. They needed to know if they were going to abort, they needed to get that done as soon as possible. Well, before they were going to give them their decision, the wife went to her mom's house and went for the weekend and had gone to the church service. And there was a visiting pastor who had had this sermon that he was talking about. And he basically, the gist of his sermon was, maybe the miracle that you're looking for doesn't come the way you think it will. Mm-hmm. And I remember kind of going, that's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Really powerful. So she took that as, I need to keep this child. Mm-hmm. But she knew she still had an uphill battle, because the husband was still sort of like, no, this is not going to turn out good for our kid. Right. And so finally, a geneticist gave the husband the number of this woman in the United States that adopted out children that were born with Down syndrome that the families didn't want and adopted it to families mm-hmm. that would want. So he calls this woman and he tells this woman, okay, here's the scenario. Child with Down syndrome, what are your chances of being able to adopt this child? And without hesitation, the woman answered back and said, no problem at all. Mm-hmm. He's like, really? Right? And then he goes, okay, scenario number two. He says, child with Down syndrome, hole in its heart. What are your chances of being able to adopt this child? And she goes, no problem. Like literally, not a problem at all. Right? Wow. And he's like, going, okay, scenario number three. Right? But the chip is left, but he's trying to, you know. And he goes, child with Down syndrome, hole in its heart, interracial marriage. What are your chances? Again, no hesitation from the woman. There are people out there that would love your child.
Wow.
So he got off the phone with this woman and he goes, there are people out there that would love my child, my child. And he goes, so why am I not? And that made him look at himself. And then he finally came to terms that he wanted to have to continue with the pregnancy. Right.
And this was obviously a few years before.
Before
Faith.
Before Faith.
But obviously this stuck with you.
It did. I was supposed to be resting because I had a migraine, but I could not turn it off. Like I literally was enthralled in their story. And I remember after watching the story, talking about it with my friends and saying, what would you do in this situation if this happens? For 6 months, I was like, it was like in the forefront of my mind.
Wow.
Yeah.
So fast forward a little bit, mm-hmm. you're excitingly yeah. pregnant. You found out you're pregnant.
Yes.
Now, as I just recently found out, you're actually adopted.
I am.
So do you think you felt any different that you were pregnant, that your baby was going to be a part of you? I mean, I guess it's a little bit difficult to answer that, but I've heard this from other people who've been adopted that, you know, when they have a child, it's almost like a full circle.
Oh, honestly, it truly is. And the only, it's a situation that other people probably don't understand mm. until they've had their own, because being adopted, even though you've been raised in a family that loves you, you still have that of, there's a family that didn't want me. So mm-hmm. do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like you have mm-hmm. to come to terms with that. Mm-hmm. And in my journey of life, I was able to actually get connected with my birth family and found out all the scenarios. Like a lot of things got answered. Like right. I remember thinking, why do I do this? And nobody else in my family does this. And why? But when I met my birth mom and we exchanged stories, our lives were parallel. Like it was amazing how much our lives had paralleled wow. with each other. So yeah, that in itself is another thing that could just another pod. Because there's so many layers and so mm-hmm. many factors to it. So knowing my mom, I had explained to my birth mom that apparently as a child, I was very miserable. And of course, my family told me that I was a baby. So, and she actually piped up and said, well, there's probably a very good reason for that. And I said, do tell.
Yes.
So she had mentioned that during her pregnancy with me, she was under a lot of stress and she was a nanny for this family where the mother was quite apparently not very kind and treated her not very well. And so she had the stress of this family and then the stress of the fact that she was giving this child up, that she found out that she was pregnant, so on and so forth. So she had said that would make complete sense, that why you always cry all the time as a child. So I knew from that experience, for my own healing as an individual, what had happened. Because, of course, we find out now later down through the years that research shows that the child feels everything that the mother feels. So there's that in my head as I learned.
Oh. So did you find your birth mother, and you also have some half siblings?
Yes.
Like, did you find them before having Faith or was yes. it after?
Before.
Oh, wow. Okay. Very interesting.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and then early in your pregnancy, you said something to your then husband that yeah. now looking back is a bit prophetic.
Yes. So,
but do share.
you know, as being a newly pregnant woman, and like not that it wasn't my first time, but it was my first time in the sense of, you know, I made it past a certain mark, and I think it was around the 3 month mark.
Yeah,
we were in the bedroom, and he was putting some clothes away, and I was holding my stomach, and I looked at him, and I said, you know, I said, I'm sure every brand new mom says this. I said, or mom to be says this. I said, but I really truly feel that there is something very unique and very special. This child is unique and special that's growing inside of me. I just feel it. It's strange. I said, and I'm sure every mom says this. But anyway, that's my thought. And he remembers going, well, that's really neat that you feel that way. So yeah. So I said that at 3 months. Yeah.
Interesting.
And then I said it again at 6. To a friend.
So because you were 37, yes. And you know, they say once you're over 35.
Yes, yes.
Like advanced maternal age.
Yes,
but
yeah.
Regardless, I was way beyond 37 when I had Ainsley.
Yeah.
But you were offered the various testing.
Yes.
So what happened with that?
So, of course, I wanted to know why, first of all, why do you want me to have this testing then? And so the doctor, we had this long conversation and she explained, you know, that there's some things that we can find out. And I said, well, what kind of things? And she wouldn't come out with the exact reason. And I kept trying to draw it out of her. But I would ask my question in a different way. Still wouldn't fully come out with it. So then I finally just said, so is it because I could possibly be carrying a child with Down syndrome? Those were the exact words that came out. And she said, well, there could be a possibility. And I said, okay, so what if I am? So what if I am carrying this child with Down syndrome? Why would you want me to have this testing done? And she still wouldn't come out with it. Now, me saying it, like, he put aside my own beliefs, right? I mean, I personally, because I'm adopted and been given the opportunity of life, would not. But I also wouldn't because of my beliefs, right? So, but that wasn't the beliefs part, wasn't the driving force. To me, it was the fact that, you know, why would I? I've been given life. My mother, birth mother, gave me an opportunity. Mm-hmm. I could not have good conscience aborting my child. I just couldn't, regardless. So we'd had this long discussion and she said to me, and I actually, my words to her were, I know there's been research done. I said, I've been adopted. I've met my birth mom. My birth mom has explained a lot of things to me and about how I was as a baby corresponded with what was going on in her life at the time that she was pregnant with me. And I said, and because of that reason, I do not want any negative thought going towards my baby. Those were the words that I had said to the doctor. So then she says, okay, I respect that. Mm-hmm. And then she says, okay, but she says, wouldn't you want to be prepared? And I thought to myself, well, I said, yeah, in a perfect world, I would want to be prepared. Mm-hmm. I said, but we don't live in a perfect world. Mm-hmm. And I said that if I am carrying a child with Down syndrome, I'll cross that bridge when I get to it. Mm-hmm. Those were my words to the doctor.
Wow.
Yeah.
Smiles. Again, very prophetic. And so how was your pregnancy? You know, your first pregnancy where you miscarried, you were quite sick in the first trimester.
Yes.
Was it challenging, difficult? Was it easy?
Well, here's the funny thing. It was very different from my first pregnancy. So with my first pregnancy, yes, I felt sick all the time. I never felt sick once with being pregnant with Faith. In fact, I had people telling me that, wow, you're glowing. Like people would literally say that to me. And I loved being pregnant.
Same. Right. I did. I loved being pregnant.
Yes. Yeah. And I did spot at the very beginning. So of course, because of the fact that I'd miscarried before, they got me in right away. Everything was fine. And they said that there was a heartbeat. Here's another thing that they always said. Very strong heartbeat that this kid has. They would say that every single time that they would hear when they would put the little
ultrasound.
Yes. Yeah. Or even just to hear, right? Like whenever you go see the doctor. So yeah, I thought that was good. Interesting. So here I am thinking, oh yeah,
everything's good. Right?
Everything's fine. And that was good and everything is fine. But you know, like you're not thinking that any of these things.
Oh, obviously. No, yeah. no one's expecting that. I was talking with another mom about, you know, what they have those NIP tests now.
Yes.
Well, she'll do it just to find out the sex of the baby.
Yes.
They're not thinking they're going to find anything else out.
Yes.
You know, and in lots of cases.
Yes.
That's how people find out.
Yes. And I mean, and that's the reason why I didn't want to have the testing. I didn't, because I'd miscarried before. I thought there's no chance. And because it took us so long to get pregnant, I had said, I just don't want to risk it.
Of course.
At all.
Of course. Yeah. Yeah. That's totally understandable.
Yeah.
Now you go into labor at 38 weeks. So she's fully cooked.
Yes.
And when Faith was finally placed in your arms, what was that like for you? And what did you think?
So when they brought her over to me, of course, all the love in the world.
Right.
I'm looking at her and the church that I go to has a couple with Down syndrome. They're married. And the first thought that went through my head was, oh, she looks like Arnold and Yancy. And then it was like all the stuff started happening in the room. Now, I pushed solid for 2 hours straight. Like I was exhausted by the end of it. And I could sense that there was something going on, but I was trying to figure out what that was. And then all of a sudden, the doctor comes over to me. Now, this is not a doctor in the maternity clinic that I had actually had an opportunity to meet face to face. She was brand new. And she immediately says to me, you didn't have the testing done. And I'm looking at her. Now, I'm just pushed for 2 solid straight hours. I was like, my mucus plug came out at 8 o'clock in the morning. And this is now like 1 o'clock a.m. the next day, right? And she says to me, you didn't have the testing done. And I'm looking at her and I'm thinking in my head, I'm going, first of all, why do you sound so surprised? Should you not have known that before you came in to deliver my baby? You know, like these are the things that are going through my head, right? And so I look at her and I say, no, I didn't. And then she says, well, there's a concern that she might have Down syndrome. She said it like that. And I'm like looking at her. And then because I pushed for 2 solid hours and I'm just physically exhausted, I'm thinking in my head, what? Do you want to put her back? Like, I'm trying to, these are the things that are going through my head. And then I'm thinking, okay, just look at her and just very matter-of-factly answer her. And I said, okay. And then she just looked at me with this kind of strange look. And then she says, well, we're going to have to get some things. We're going to have to get a specialist in. I said, do what you got to do. You did that 20 years ago.
I know. But, you know, I'm speechless.
Mm-hmm.
But I think necessarily a lot has, I hope it's maybe changed.
Yeah,
and maybe some listeners with younger babes can let me know. But I don't
rate on it.
I don't think in a lot of cases,
it's sad
that it has really changed. And for the doctor to almost be accusatory.
Yeah.
But they said, you don't have the test done?
I'm thinking, why does that matter?
Yeah.
Like, this is my choice in all of this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at least I thought we lived in a country where I could have that choice. And then, you know, well, there's a concern she might have Down syndrome. I'm thinking, like, what do you want to do? Like, if she does. And yet I already kind of knew when they brought her over to me that she did.
Wow. Yeah. Yes. Because, I mean, I had a prenatal diagnosis and I remember one of the genetic counselors and I always found that they were the worst because I was a single mom by choice. I think they were incredulous that a single mom by choice would even want a child with Down syndrome. But
yes,
I remember one of them saying, like, because I said, look, the termination isn't on the table.
Yeah.
Because it was always being brought up and I couldn't stand it. And one of them even had the audacity to ask me, is it for religious reasons? And I said, does that even
matter?
Why
does it matter? Yeah.
Right. And I just thought, gosh, oh my gosh. So they bring over your beautiful newborn baby.
Yes.
And you hear from this ignorant doctor, really, saying that she likely has Down syndrome. And they're often so full of doom and gloom.
Yes.
what was it like hearing that news? You tried so long to get pregnant.
Yes.
And then you have this beautiful baby in your arms. Yes. And then you hear, oh, your baby most likely has Down syndrome.
Yeah. Well, it was interesting because they said they had to get a specialist in. So the specialist came in that next morning, like I think around 9 o'clock in the morning. But that whole night, I was already head over heels in love with her. Like I literally, like I remember all I would do was just stare at her and I'd fall asleep staring at her. Oh. And every time the nurse would come in and check on her, I'd wake up and they'd go, we're just, and I'm like, no problem. And then I'd look at her again like this and then I'd just fall asleep. So it was a beautiful night, the night that she was born. And then this gentleman comes in and he's a specialist and he looks her over and I'm sort of sitting there waiting. And then he says, okay, well, right. He says, I'm letting you know that I'm going to be ordering the blood work. He says, but it's just a formality because I already can tell you, right? She definitely has Down syndrome. And I'm like, okay. And then he says, so what that means is basically she's not going to walk until she's maybe 4 or 5. She's not going to talk until she's much older. She may never talk. You know, like the list that he went down, you know, like you're going to be her caregiver for the rest of your life, blah, 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 blah. And I'm literally kind of sitting there listening to him. And I'm just going, wow, like, holy smokes. And looking at my child that I'm head over heels in love with, right? And going, already, the fight is on.
Yeah.
But, you know, like it's like immediately after birth. And so he left the room. And during the time that that I was pregnant, near the last part of my pregnancy, it was a time when from December till mid-January that we had nonstop rain, right? Like, you know those that we have, right? Mm-hmm. During those winter years. And I remember I was sitting on my bed and I looked out the window. And as I looked out the window, the sun came out. And I remember thinking as the sun was coming out, I thought, the sun's coming out. And I looked at her and I said to myself, we're going to show them, aren't we? We're literally going to show them, aren't we? And I literally had that. I had my moment. I mean, I did sit there before that the sun actually started peeking out and thought, so I probably may never be a grandmother. Okay. So that's part of it. Okay.
You just had a child and you're thinking, I may never be a grandmother.
I just had a child and I'm worried. She may never walk down the aisle. Because, you know, you're already hearing all these negative things from the doctor. So you're kind of going, well, then there's probably that and that and that on top of it. And then I literally, when the sun came out, I just went, you know what? The sun's coming out. We got this. It is what it is. And we're going to make the best of it. Yeah. And I decided then that I was going to educate myself on everything that I needed to know
about Down syndrome. Wow. Now, little Faith was in the hospital for 5.5 weeks.
Yes.
I mean, we were in for 26 days and that felt like an eternity.
Yes,
so
yes.
Why was she in the hospital?
She wouldn't latch. So the first day that she was born, of course, we had all the, you know, people coming in to visit and so on and so forth. And every time I tried to feed her, she just wouldn't, her tongue was probably just a little too big for
her mouth.
Yeah. Mouth. And of course, and I was huge. So that's probably another reason. Well, the poor girl, she was just light choking, I think. But yeah, she just wouldn't latch. And so for the first almost 24 hours, she didn't eat a thing. And so then the special, at that time it was called the special care nursery, but now it's the NICU. They came in and said, we're going to try and get some food down here. We need you to pump and we're going to have her, you know, in this unit and you can come visit her anytime and we'll set up a schedule for you once that happens. And so I said, okay. And it was hard them wheeling my baby out of my room. Mm-hmm. She just wanted to sleep. So they came into my room at around 8 o'clock that night. And they basically, you know, said to me in a very delicate way that they know how to tell those things to you, right? Because you're not realizing, well, we're going to be keeping her there, but that comes later kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
So they're just delicately saying, we're going to try and get some food in her. you know, and we'll probably, we may have to put an NG tube in and so on and so forth. And I'm like, okay, okay, if you think that's best and everything. Well, so they take her out of my room, and I remember waking up in the middle of the night and just going over to her. And I actually went and visited her, and then I came back to my room, and I just had a real kind of interesting situation happen where I just had a moment with, the way I say it, a moment with the Lord, and just had a really, it was almost like a conversation. And to this day, I still hold that very close to my heart, because I felt he was letting me know the reasons for her birth and how he wanted to use her. Yeah. What my job was as her mom, and I was to give him the glory for it. And whenever anybody would say that you're such a good mom, I would give it right back to him. He revealed to me things in my husband's heart at the time, and everything that happened that night kind of just laid itself out the next few days. Kind of, I was just like, okay, this is crazy. So yeah, it was actually, never had an experience prior to that like that, and I haven't had one like that since. But I do feel that it was something to help me to know that I was in the right place and it was going to be okay.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Now, you had an interesting conversation with your primary doctor.
Yes.
After Faye
was
born.
Yes.
Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yes. So what ends up happening is she's in the NICU. The doctor came to me, I think it was, so she was born on the Friday, early Saturday morning. The doctor comes to me on Sunday and says, so how do you feel about going home? And I burst into tears, and she says, oh no, we can wait till Tuesday. And I said, no, why are we delaying the inevitable? I'm still going to have to go home on Tuesday, and I still have to leave my baby here. So, you know, emotions that are going through your head. So they sent me up with this schedule that I would go in at 8:30 in the morning to the NICU. I would try to get her to latch. If I couldn't get her to latch, then I would give her a bottle, which would take her 45 minutes to try to even get down. So then because 45 minutes had gone by and the bottle was still not fully used, they would then put the rest of it into the NG tube, and then I would go pump in the back room. And then, so that there was food for her later, well, I'd go back home to rest. So this, and I did this three times a day, 8:30, 2:30, 8:30. It was during one of the times, I think it was one of the mornings, the doctor that I had that long conversation with about why I wasn't going to be having the testing comes in, and she sits down across from me, and I'm holding Faith and empty. And she looks at me and she goes, how are you doing? And I looked at her, and I looked her straight in the eye, and I said, I'm crossing the bridge. And she smiled at me, and she put her hand on my knee and said,
Yeah. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned the Dateline show that you were watching. So you then read the book, Choosing Naya, I think is the name.
Yes.
Like, it's almost like you read it obviously after Faith was born, but it's almost like a full circle moment.
Absolutely. Well, the interesting thing is, so when Naya was born, they were trying to come up with a name of what name they would call her. And they came up with the name Naya. Well, they found out after Naya was born that Naya in Swahili means decision.
Oh, interesting.
Right? So during the time that I was pregnant with Faith, I had come up with Faith's name long before Faith. Even if it was a girl, if it was a boy, it was going to be Ethan. And if it was a girl, it was going to be Faith. So everybody would say to me afterwards, you know, so did you have this name prior to Faith being born? Because they all knew that I didn't know that she had Down syndrome. And I said, yeah, I came up with this when she was still about 6 months in the womb, when we were trying to figure out names. And so, of course, they all said, oh, it was meant to be, but, you know.
Yeah, wonderful. Now, I think I know the answer to this, but was it better for you to get a birth diagnosis than a prenatal one?
Yes. For me, yes. Because as I had mentioned to the doctor, when, you know, that we live in a perfect world. I also knew myself. And I knew, because remember how I said before, didn't want anything negative going into my child. And I did tell that to the doctor. I want nothing negative. So I know myself. If I got a prenatal diagnosis of Down syndrome, I'd be worrying for the next 6 months until the child was born, whether or not I'd be a good parent or not. I didn't want anything negative going towards her. So I made sure throughout my whole pregnancy that I stayed in good spirits, that I was, you know, doing good things to myself, taking good care of myself, because I wanted this child to have nothing negative come towards it.
Yeah, it's interesting. Most people, how they got their diagnosis, they say it was the preferred way.
Yes.
So it's, I'm always curious when I ask people. So
yes.
So you're 20 years into this journey of Down syndrome. What advice do you have for someone who has just received the news that their baby has a little extra?
Don't listen to all the negative. At the same time, do educate yourself. Reach out to other moms that you know. Is pet that. And I mean, in this day and age, when Faith was born, there weren't Facebook groups that had, you know, new moms of T21. You know, there wasn't any of this stuff. But if you do find that out, seek out Facebook if you're on Facebook. Seek out moms. Call the Down Syndrome Resource Foundation. Find whatever information you can. Stay away from internet in the sense of because 25 years ago, there was nothing but negative stuff when it came to Down syndrome.
Oh, of course.
Everything was negative. I mean, like I said, when I got the diagnosis, that's all that the doctor could say to me was all the things that she wouldn't be able to do. And so know that, there are going to be some delays. Know that maybe it will be harder for them to speak. In my situation, it was for Faith. She has the proxy of speech. So there might be some hiccups that come. But your outlook on how, don't fall into the trap of the narrative of the negative. Because, and I'm not saying it's all roses either. But the great thing is, there are so many beautiful things that have happened in my life that I would never have happened if I didn't have a child with Down syndrome. And she has made me not only a better parent, but a better person. And I owe it to her because she's challenged me in areas that I probably would never have challenged myself. And yet, here she is just being her beautiful, lovely, determined young self. And I'm learning to adapt. And it's okay to adapt. We have to adapt everywhere in life. And having a child with Down syndrome, there are going to be some adaptations that you're going to have to do and modifications that you might have to do. But that child is going to teach you so many amazing things about life.
100%. I'm only halfway in the journey of you.
Yes.
As Ainsley's 11.
Yes.
But yes, I agree fullheartedly with everything you said. Is there anything else you would like to add to your story?
Well, there was so much that I did say. What can I add now? Just embrace it. Embrace it. Align yourself with people that are equally wanting to embrace the journey that you're on. Because it is a journey. There's never a real end to it necessarily. And sometimes your road can be windy. And sometimes it can be, you think that you are not able to do it, but the reality is you are.
Yeah.
And one thing I remember at one of our seminars that we went to, I was saying to the parents that you are the best parent for your child. Just watch your child. Your child will show you. I mean, that time that I had, when they took Faith into the special care nursery, that was one of the things that I felt the Lord was telling me was watch her because she will show you what she needs. And that was one of the things that I held and I still to this day hold close to my heart. If she's done something that I don't understand why she's done it, I need to really hone in and figure out there's a reason, because everything with my daughter, anything that she's done, there's a reason why she's done it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah.
And it can be something that I may never know what it is. Or it could be as simple as, like, I had a situation just recently. And we were in Las Vegas. She had her hands underneath the railing and she went, ew, sticky. And my reaction was, oh. And we were with family members. And then shortly after that, she was acting very strange with me. And I realized she was embarrassed. I had embarrassed her.
Oh.
And I realized afterwards, okay, so I'm still learning. And be okay with yourself. Don't beat yourself up. Do not beat yourself up.
Okay.
That's the most, if anything, yeah, you're going to have moments where you're going to cry, where you're just going to let it all out. But don't beat yourself up because you are doing the best that you can. And know that.
Thank you. I know I need to hear that because I do beat myself up.
Yeah, we all do.
Oh, I know. Oh, well, Dorothy, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story about your beautiful daughter, Faith. And, you
thanks,
know,
baby.
Oh, yes, you're more than welcome. And let's get back to the wine.
Yes. It's such a good wine. Cheers. And to our daughters.
To our daughters.
You gotta have faith. Dorothy's daughter's name is so apropos. Imagine initially telling your doctor when you decline prenatal testing that you will cross that bridge when you get there, never actually thinking you would come upon that bridge. And then later telling that same doctor that you were literally crossing that bridge. There were so many little prophetic nuggets throughout Dorothy's pregnancy, and I just loved how 20 years later, she remembers it all so vividly. And when Dorothy shared that so many beautiful things have happened in her life that would never have happened if she didn't have a child with Down syndrome. And I know I feel the same way. It's not without its challenges, for sure. But there is so much beauty to be found in this life. And I also really love that Dorothy said, align yourself with people that are equally wanting to embrace the journey that you're on. And Dorothy, I'm so glad that I found you. Thanks for listening to the T21 Mom Podcast. And if you would like to share your diagnosis story, I would love to hear from you. You can send me a message on my website at t21mom.com, or you can even leave a little voicemail, or you can just say hi. Let me know how you're enjoying these stories. I would love to hear from you. So keep on loving on your rocking kiddos, and I'll see you next time.